Man, can't believe it. If you can put the lights up, that'd be awesome. Thank you. Don't forget, I know they announced it this morning, but if you weren't here when they announced it, we have an hour-long Christmas Eve service. And it's going to be, guess what, on Christmas Eve, right? At 6:30 to 7:30, and it's going to be awesome. We're going to do things that we've never done before, and it's going to be super exciting. I am very, very excited. I came and popped in on the practice last night, and I was getting some tears in some of the songs that were being sung, and my wife showed me some of the videos of some of the stuff that's going to be happening. It's going to be powerful. I'm super excited. This is awesome. Listen, before I preach this morning, you cannot have Easter, right? We all know that we celebrate Jesus Christ. He is risen, right? We all get excited about that. We all get excited that Jesus died on Good Friday for our sins on the cross. But guess what? You can't have any of those if you don't have a baby laying in a manger first. Amen? Christmas is super, super important, and I'm super excited to be celebrating that with you this morning. We're all here, and it's our last week of our Advent series, The Cast of Christmas. I've always loved Christmas time, even when I was a kid. And you're like thinking, what? If you attend this church, you know that I don't like the white demon. The white demon is the snow. See, that's not true. I do like the white demon. I just don't like it when it comes uninvited to my home, right? I like to go visit the white demon because I'm used to growing up in Oregon, and we go to the mountain an hour away, and we go visit this thing that falls from the sky that freezes everything, and we're super excited. But I've always loved Christmas. I've always loved Christmas. If it's white, a white Christmas, and if it's not a white Christmas, which is crazy. That I think my wife read me something last night that Christmas is actually going to be warmer than Thanksgiving and warmer than Halloween, and the first time in 50, 60, something like years, right? And we're like, what? No, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I personally don't believe in global warming, but hey, if it's happening, praise God, right? Amen. Come on now. Hopefully that's not the only amen somebody gave over there all day today. Amen. But seriously, I'm super excited. I love Christmas. I love its traditions. I love the special meals. I love the season. I love that I might have to go to the next hole in my belt loop because I'm eating so much great things and so much candy. I love the music. I love the atmosphere. And most of all, I love the expectation. I love it. Do you remember being a kid and on Christmas Eve? You remember that? You know the night that you had the worst sleep of your life, right? You wake up more than a baby, like every 20 minutes, you're like, oh, is it time? Is it time? And I'll just tell a quick story about our mom. Every single night, Christmas Eve, you need to go to bed, and when you get up in the morning, we're just going to wake up in the morning, and then we're going to start opening presents, you know, and my mom, she loves Christmas, loves. And so she's like, you're just going to sleep in, you know, we're just going to wake up. It's like 6 a.m., and she, like, throws my covers off. What are you doing? It's Christmas! Ma, you said sleep in. I know, but it's Christmas! And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm confused, but I should know this because you did it the last 10 years. I love Christmas, and I'm super excited. Like most kids who attended church on a regular basis, I grew up in church, but I definitely wasn't the church. It was just something I did. It wasn't something I was. But I remember growing up in church, and if you asked me what Christmas was all about, I would have probably said, it's about Jesus. But deep down in my heart, it's about presents. That's what it was like for me as a kid. See, no matter how hard I'd try, no matter what I'd do or try to psych myself up and get excited about Jesus' birthday, it was always in my heart about the packages with my name on them, and I can't wait to rip them open. Even the ones that I've already peeked at. Hey, if you leave it open, you don't, I mean, it's like somebody talking in front of you. You're not going to listen to the conversation, really. So I loved as a kid. I wanted it to be all about Jesus, but the presence had a pretty strong hold on my heart. I'm going to admit something to you this morning as well. I'm pretty excited to see what I'm going to get for Christmas again. I am. I love presents. I do. I love it. And I do like the excitement and the expectation of what is to come. But you know what I'm more excited about? I am super, super excited about the present that our kids get this year that you gave us. Remember, people that attend, that you gave us for Pastor's Day, right? I don't think any of my kids are in here right now. You gave us the cruise, a Disney cruise, right? And we're so excited. We're going to tell them on Christmas Eve morning, and we cannot wait. Seriously, I'm super duper excited to see what they're going to look like when we give them that presence. And I'm very, very blessed to be able to do that. This morning, I'm not going to ask you to pretend like there aren't other things going on in your mind. I'm not going to ask you to pretend that you don't really care about the gifts, you don't care about the food, you don't care about time off or family time and celebration. But what I am going to ask you, however, is that you need to take this next few moments that we have together this morning, just 3 days before Christmas, to pause with me for a second. See, Christmas can get crazy. It can get really, really crazy, but I want you to pause with me just for a moment to focus on the greatest gift that has ever been given. In Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it says this in the NLT. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. See, Jesus' arrival says so much about who he is and how he operates in our lives. His parents, you heard it this morning, they left their hometown of Nazareth and they registered for the census. And they couldn't find a place to stay. See, it's remarkable. This event, you consider who Jesus is. See, the Bible says he's the Almighty One. John 1:3 says, God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. Jesus had the ability to peel back heaven. He could stop time. He could call upon all the legions of the angels with just his voice. Yet there was no room for him when he arrived. See, the way he was received, or more like the way he was ignored, speaks so much about how we can respond to him even at this very moment, 3 days before Christmas in 2019. The matter of his arrival reminds us that Jesus didn't force himself upon any of us. He doesn't make threats. Jesus doesn't beg. Jesus doesn't make this grand display. Instead, his arrival that night, and even his arrival right now, he offers us a quiet invitation, a call to be welcomed in, a welcoming home in the dark night of our hearts. See, ironically, the one who came to welcome us back home to a relationship with God, there was nobody to welcome him when he arrived. The circumstances of his birth showed how people throughout the ages would misunderstand and they would reject him. See, we look around in our country right now and we see a great divide, don't we? And it's quite sad, to be honest, but guess what? This isn't new knowledge to the Lord. This has been happening for centuries. See, more often, people, even right now, would not have room in their lives for him. For the last 4 weeks, our church has been looking at the cast of Christmas and his amazing arrival and the rescue mission from God to us. We had the prophets, the angels, the shepherds, and the magi. Now, the cast of Christmas looks at us. Jesus is here right now, waiting to be a greater part of your life, or maybe he's waiting to be a part of your life for the very first time. In fact, if you've never responded to Jesus' invitation or responded to his arrival by giving your life to him, I want you to know there's going to be an opportunity to do that in just a moment. Perhaps the Lord is knocking at your heart right now. The prophets, the angels, the shepherds, and the magi, see, they all had important parts to play in God's wonderful arrival. They all responded to Jesus in a unique but a wonderful way. Before we look at their specific responses, I want us to let us consider something that's very common, a common response that people even have toward Christmas today. Many people feel that God, he's primarily concerned with your behavior. Anybody feel like that this morning? You don't have to raise your hand. You think God is concerned about your behavior? We feel that God is pleased with the good people, and he's really upset with the bad people. Many of us look at our own goodness, or should I say our less badness, and we start comparing. We consider Jesus' arrival on earth. Many of us hope that the idea that we're really not bad people. I'm not a bad person. I'm not a bad guy. Most of us, after all, haven't murdered anybody, right? We haven't embezzled thousands of dollars. We haven't done these really bad things. The problem with that approach is that the comparison of goodness, our comparison of goodness, it's ridiculous in the light of God's goodness. Okay? I want you to consider something real quick. Let's consider that the planet Mars represents the goodness of an average person. Comparatively, your goodness is bigger, right? I'm a little better than most people. On average, I'm a little bit better, right? Anybody? Nobody amen in that? Come on now. I'm that good. I'm not going to be prideful this morning. But yeah, that's me. That's me, Pastor. Your goodness is more like the size of Earth. Okay? This is a little ball. Looks like Earth. So the average person, their size of goodness is Mars, which, according to space.com, Earth is 2 times the size of Mars. So well done, people, a little better than average. Hallelujah. You're like this. Here's the big problem. With our comparison, God's goodness is closer to the size of the sun. And according to Universe Today, you could fit 1.3 million of these little guys, little Earths, into the sun. Oh, snap. That's like this. Here's my goodness. And the sun is the size of this sanctuary. And there we are. And we're good. That's me, Pastor. Hey, at least I'm not Mars. You can quickly see that the little differences between Mars and Earth and the things that we have between one another is nothing compared to the goodness and the holiness of God. See, we know Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, and Adolf Hitler were evil, right? Evil. But the truth is, our goodness is much closer to their goodness than it is to God's goodness. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says this in the NLT. Paul tells us, "For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard." Or we all fall short of God's glory. We were in trouble. Anybody here ever been in some trouble before? Somebody just laughed. They're like, "I was in trouble right before I got here. I got a speeding ticket. Don't they know it's 3 days till Christmas?" Slow down. Man, we were in really, really, really bad trouble. Christmas time is a reminder that God took a huge step toward us. A step at the right time, a time when we were in desperate need, a time we were in really bad trouble. Although we were created to be with God, our hearts have turned far from him. There was a barrier between us and our Creator, and it had to be dealt with. See, if a couple thousand years of Jewish history teaches us anything, it's that the answer wasn't going to be found in our own effort. Our answer isn't going to be found in us trying harder. Me maybe being a little bit better according to God's glory and his goodness. God took a big step toward us by coming to live with us to show us the way and to remove the barrier for us through his death for us. See, it's not about being good, church. It's about being near to God, and you can only do that through Jesus. So I know some of you in here right now, I can feel it, are here because you're expected to be, or even you're required to be, right? Grandma's saying, everybody's going to church this morning. You said, okay, Grandma, okay. If you don't go to church, you're not getting my cooking. Okay. I'm going to church. Or maybe there was a relative up here just a little bit ago, maybe wearing a cowboy or cowgirl hat, and this morning, and you wanted to come and support them. And so you decided to stay for the rest of the service. If that's where you find yourself this morning, maybe you'd rather be done with all this religious stuff. All right, Pastor, wrap it up, bro. I want to get out of here and go eat. I want you to know something. I get it. Get it. I'm grateful and honored that you're here. Thank you. I know us as Christians, a group of us that we call Christians, we've given you maybe a few good reasons to consider shutting out the Christmas story. Simple story, let me tell you, isn't about this church, though. Simple story of Christmas isn't even about religion. It's about a relationship with God. It's about love. It's about life. And it's about freedom. You've already made up your mind, or you're shutting out this simple story. I want to ask you to consider something just this one time. Just this one time. Try to look beyond all you've heard about Jesus and all the things that you've seen people do, good and bad, in the name of Jesus. And try to find out for yourself, who is this Jesus? Who is this baby 2,000 years ago? There's a, in the pew in front of you, unless you're sitting in the front row, it's behind you. There's these NLT Bibles. That's called New Living Translation. Why do we have that? It's a Bible that's fairly easy to read, but it still goes back to the Greek and the Hebrew as best as it can by using modern language so you can understand what the Bible actually is saying. And we'd love for you to take one if you don't already have a Bible. Seriously, if you don't have a Bible and you want a Bible, you just grab that. It's yours. I can get more. It's no big deal. I want you to have it. And before you completely close the door to Jesus, I want you to open the Bible. There's a section called Matthew. It's titled on the top. It's called Matthew. And I want you to read straight through. It's not a lot of pages. And you're going to stop at John. These pages are all full about Jesus' life. And they're called the Gospels. You can decide whatever you would like about me as the pastor, right? Decide whatever you want. Decide whatever you want about the music that we just had, or maybe this red carpet right here. Decide whatever you want about that, or the service altogether, but don't shut the door on Jesus. So you've looked for yourself, who he really is, and what his birth really meant. This isn't a question of what church do you go to. I know there's a lot of guests here today. Thank you for being here. This isn't a question about what church you go to. This is a question about what eternity holds for you. It's a question of who is God? What does God want? And what your life could mean within the answers of those two questions. Trust me, the stakes are very high. So it's worth taking a serious look. I remember living for God, loving God, and I remember hating God and really not even believing in him. Stakes are very high. So way back in the day, way back, through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, there were these guys called prophets. And they knew we needed a Savior because they knew they were in trouble. And they spoke of his coming. We can respond to Jesus this Christmas like the prophets responded to him. We can eagerly and earnestly look for him. There is the Messiah. The prophets have left us a powerful example. See, they believed in him even though he hadn't even been born yet. See, that's what faith is. There's people in here today who say, man, I don't got faith. You have faith to believe they ain't faith. Come on now. You got faith to drive on a two-way street that car's not going to hop over into your lane and smack you. You have faith to sit down on that pew today. You have faith. Just what is it in? And these guys, they had faith to believe that Messiah was coming, and he wasn't even born yet. They had an opportunity like the prophets of old. See, we have an opportunity today. They believed the Messiah would come from God to save us from our sin because we cannot be good enough on our own. We also can respond like the shepherds. The shepherds saw an angel appear before them. A great angel choir joined them, and the shepherds wondered, what was this all about? Some of us respond to Jesus, as many of you are responding right now, wondering, what is everyone pointing at and looking at? There's a spot on the wall? What is going on over there? A lot of us, we wonder, are we missing something? We feel like we don't have the inside track or the inside knowledge. Oh no, that's just for them. I don't get it. I don't understand. Let me tell you something this morning. There's no special knowledge. They don't see anything you and I cannot see. You don't have to be anything you're not, and you don't have to pretend to feel like anything's going on if you don't. But here's what happened 2,000 years ago. An angel appeared to the shepherds announcing, a Savior has come and he's nearby in a stable. In their curiosity, the shepherds didn't just stand there pointing at the sky. They said to each other, let's go see that thing that is happening. Let's go. We gotta do something about this. Maybe this morning you're a little bit curious. Maybe you're like me, you peek in the presence. Maybe you're wondering if there's anything in this story for you, or is this just a bunch of people pointing aimlessly at nothing? I implore you this, to consider this possible idea that God, in fact, is love. Think about this possible idea. See, maybe you've searched for love in all the wrong places, and maybe you're there right now, but maybe consider this fact that Jesus is love. See, maybe you've seen God's greatness in the beauty of the world. There's a lot of awesome things in this world. And maybe you've experienced his brilliance and his nobility even in your own heart. And at the same time, you know that there is a broken world, a world full of evil and sin and tears and sorrow. And at some level, there's even brokenness in your own heart. Is it possible that the idea of the cross is a great intersection of two important truths about God? Number one, God's justice demands holiness and payment for sin. And number two, God's love provided the payment through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Is it possible? Yeah, I believe that Jesus is reaching out to you in love right now. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, don't you see how wonderfully kind and tolerant and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? So if you're curious like the shepherds, I want to encourage you that you can respond by opening your heart to the Christmas story and allowing the possibility that the first Christmas was simply God's perfect expression of love and kindness for you. God showed his love by sending his son, Jesus. And why did he do that? He wanted to, re- He wanted to remove judgment and guilt from your life. Christians, do you remember that first day you gave your life to God? I mean, really gave it to him. Didn't just say something and went back to your own ways. You gave your life to him. You remember the guilt and this heavy load that just gone. And then you felt like, what? What do you mean I'm loved how I am right now? Are you kidding me? You remember that, Christians? You remember that? Say hallelujah. And I remember that day. I remember growing up in church, going to church. I remember how people treated me in church and I got hurt. And I remember how I didn't want to go to church because how could the people that represent church and represent God treat me like that? That must be God. I hate God. That's ignorant. God is not. God is perfect. People are not. But I was hurt. I was so hurt. And I remember just going to church didn't make me a Christian until that one day. One day I stood up and said, I need Jesus in my life. Forgive me, God. And I've never. It was ninth grade. I've never turned my back on him since. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. Finally, the Christmas story made sense to me. It wasn't just some old story about some little baby sitting in a manger somewhere. It was real. That present was mine for me. It could be for you today as well. God cares about the pain and the brokenness that you have seen and the brokenness and the pain that you have felt. And maybe the brokenness and the pain you've even caused yourself. God sees it and he cares. Why does he do that? Because he cares for you. See, God took a giant leap towards you on Christmas when he lowered himself as a man. And all he wants in return is for you to take a step in his direction. You can keep on running if you want. Turn around and take a step toward God. Take a moment. Step in his direction. Respond to him with what you're really thinking and feeling about right now. See it. We're going to take a moment here and we're going to pray. It's going to be a simple prayer. And you can say a prayer on your own even. Something like, God, I really want to know you and who you are. Please start showing me. I'm going to tell you something. He will. He will. Open your eyes, open your heart to it. He will. There's some of us in here today, and we're like the Magi. Remember we learned last week, blew some minds, right? There weren't three of them. Maybe there's three, probably not. And they weren't kings. The Bible doesn't say that. But maybe we're like the Magi. What we do have, right, is they were waiting and they were watching for God to move on their behalf. When they saw a sign in the stars, they traveled hundreds and hundreds of miles from the east and said, in Matthew 2:2 says, where is the one who has been born, King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. See, like the Magi, some of us are waiting expectantly for God to move in our lives. With great faith, we've come here this morning, just like the wise men did, to worship him. See, they brought gold, spices, and perfume. And you may be wondering, what gift can I possibly give to God in response to what he has done? I want to encourage you that whatever you have right now, if you give it all, it's enough. It's enough. The whole reason why Jesus came is so he could be with you. That's why he came. See, the point of Christmas isn't really about gifts. It's about connection. That's what it's about. God is pleased to just have your heart. God is pleased just to have your affection. God is pleased to build a relationship with you. Your response is a gift more precious than any gold, any frankincense, or any myrrh. I want to give everyone a chance to respond in your own way to Jesus this morning. You've never given your heart or life to Jesus, but you want a relationship with God, it can begin right now, right now. December 22nd, 2019, 11:38 a.m. Hungry. All right, I got to use this. I don't like this, but I have to because it's appropriate. Fixing to get some chicken or something right after this. Fixing to go to some Pizza Ranch, Chicken Ranch. but should be called. But you can do something different right now. Maybe you're hungry for something else. Maybe you just haven't been getting fed for all the things that you've been trying. Maybe you're thirsty for something. Something in you just isn't right. It's not right. Something's settling not right in me. We're going to start with a simple prayer together. I'm going to lead you in it. And you're going to pray after repeating after me. But I want you to understand something about this prayer. It's not the end. It's the beginning. It's a place to start a relationship with Jesus, and it will change the rest of your life. See, if you decide to respond to Jesus in this way, you're making a decision to no longer do things your way. You're going to do things His way. You're admitting that you have sinned and that you need forgiveness, and it only comes through faith in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. You're deciding to live for Him and to give your life to Him. In return, He will meet you. He will transform you. He will fill you with His Spirit, and He will never leave you. Never. You will come into salvation and live by His Word for the rest of your life. Everybody repeat after me right now. Dear God, I admit I'm a sinner. You got to do it like you want to? Y'all sounded like, what? That sounds so boring and like, God, I'm a sinner. Like He don't know. He wants you to recognize it, okay? We're going to start again. All right? We're going to talk to God like He's right next to us, because guess what? Says His Word, He's omnipresent. He's here anyway, and He knows your heart. So cheer up. Joy. Joy to the world. Amen? Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Dear God, there you go. I admit I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Please forgive me of my sins. I've decided to follow You, Jesus, and put my faith in Your death and resurrection from the dead. I give You my life. Please come into my heart and fill me with Your Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. See, that was the most important beginning of some of your lives. I want to encourage you to keep pressing in to that decision. You've made that decision today, or maybe you've said those words for the very first time. Those shepherds that stood up just a moment ago pointing at the wall over there, they'd love to talk to you. They'd love to pray with you before you leave today. You can find them in the back right after service is over, and they're going to be holding decision cards. They're going to get some information from you. They're going to pray with you. And if you want a Bible, I will personally write in that Bible for you and give you a really good Bible, not a cheapy one. I'm going to give you a good one that you can study out, one that you can get into, one you can ask questions about. And they're going to write your name, and they're going to write your number down. Why? Because they want to call you and see how you're doing. See, far too often, churches have been doing this. We've been making converts and not disciples. What is a disciple? You walk with people in life. We're called to be a family. We're called to be a body. We're not going to just leave you hanging dry to fend for yourself, because Jesus died for more than that. I want to personally invite you to be a part of this church family here at First Open Bible. Love to help you grow in your commitment to Jesus. And if for some reason you are not able to go to church here, please make sure you follow up into a local church. See, God uses churches to continue the transformation in your life. And God uses churches because He wants to do things in your life. Amen? Worship team, can you please come up? You can just head on up. Thank you. So, the cast of Christmas. We're wrapping it up right here. Whoever you identify with, that first Christmas, we can all be like the angels. We can end this service like the angels did. On the night when Jesus arrived, the angels praised God and they sang in Luke 2:14, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. Church, give him glory in the way you treat one another. Give him glory in the way that you celebrate. Give him glory in the way that you sing. Give him glory in the way that you live. For there is no one or nothing better than Jesus. There is no other who deserves our praise. Whatever this simple and remarkable story finds you today, this Christmas story, wherever it finds you, so honored that you have given this special holy time to be with us here this morning. Thank you for coming. So glad that you're here. And we'd love to see you again Tuesday night at 6:30 in here for 1 hour. Bring your family, bring your friends, bring your enemies, bring whoever. Right? Bring the neighbor, bring whatever. Bring whoever you want. We would love to have time with you. See, I pray that your Christmas is going to be calm and quiet and full. And some of y'all are like, praise God, because mine is crazy, loud, and sometimes it feels a little empty. I pray that it brings you one step closer to the one who came to be with us. I pray that you can be with him forever, recognizing that you are part of the cast of Christmas. Will you stand with me as we pray? Father, we love you, and we declare Christ has come. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. For the light now shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We want to respond to your arrival by drawing closer to you. Please don't stop drawing closer to us until you are our everything. Thank you for coming to rescue us on Christmas, and thank you for coming to rescue us even today. We glorify you, we worship you, and we praise you because we love you. In Jesus' mighty name, we all pray, God's children said, amen. Let's sing a couple songs together. If you've given your heart for the first time or rededicated your life, please find people in the back. They'd love to talk to you. We love you, and Merry Christmas.
Noel, the